Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good afternoon. It's Sunday, and it's the 13th of December, 2020. Catching up quickly in terms of what's happening for the Christmas Day. What are we about? 12 days away, right? And that's interesting. How time flies. And then we're in the midst of the pandemic, boggled down with who's going to be president of the United States. But it looks like that's been resolved for the most part, except that for some things that are still up in the air. And then people looking for salvation in terms of what to do in terms of job possibilities, eviction notices, etc., etc., etc. That goes on and on and on. So, let's talk about the economy for just a bit. Let's talk about what a lot of people are talking about: unemployment, job layoff, downsizing, right sizing. Many, many, many hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of stores will be closing over the next year or two. So there is a serious problem out there that we have to face. 2 minutes before launch, let's talk about this.
Long-term joblessness is getting old. At a recent Orlando job fair, more than 2,000 showed up to apply for mostly entry-level jobs, but quite a few looked closer to retirement age.
Thank you. Good luck.
Oh, I need it.
So how old are you? 58.
Executive assistant Pete Vaughn thought she'd never retire from her old job. Now she's looking for a new one.
When you come to one of these kind of things, are you surprised by how many people you see that look like they're your age?
I am. I really am. My age and older even. So there's a lot of us out there looking.
Statistically, people over age 50 are actually less likely to be laid off. But for those who do get the axe, the going has never been tougher.
Do I leave you my resume? Or?
No, don't leave your resume. You attach your resume to your application. You should make it better.
Laid off workers 34 and younger have a 36% chance of finding a new job within a year. But for those in their 50s, it's only 24%. And past age 62, it drops even more.
People over 50 are really in a hard spot these days because employers are very cautious to take on not only the salaries, but the benefits that they expect.
Jordan Goodman is an author and personal finance expert.
And in many cases, people 50 plus cannot replace the kind of job they had before. Even though they have lots of experience is less valuable to employers today than being cheap.
Were you looking to get back into the management experience?
That's not news to Sam Wade. The former office manager has been looking since she was laid off a year ago, and she just turned 50.
I think it's my age. I do. I think it's my age. I think it's working against me. I have friends my age that are struggling, and we're all near that 50 bracket, over that 50 bracket, and there's so many young people coming out today that will do the job for a lot less.
And that's more than just a hunch. Texas A&M professor Joanna Leahy sent out 4,000 fictitious resumes for jobs she found in the Help Wanted ads, with high school graduation dates that ranged from 1959 to 1986. And, you guessed it, employers were more likely to go for the younger applicants, 40% more likely. Wade says she's now willing to accept any job just to get back in the game, and that's becoming the rule for workers of a certain age. In The New Unemployables, a joint study by Boston College and Rutgers University, researchers found that a growing number of people 50 plus are involuntarily working part-time, or, more troubling, getting so discouraged that they just drop out of the workforce altogether.
Well, it's worse than that now, because there are people who are the voters out there who are concerned about employment, of keeping their jobs, especially with the pandemic is raging still, and cities about to close down again, as countries about to be closed down again. But President Biden, of the President-elect Biden, he's saying that he's going to do all within his power to make sure that people helped through the government process, be it jobs, be it some kind of increase in unemployment benefits, or some other kind of stimulus plan that that he's working on. And so here's a person that's talking about voters, saying she's concerned about that. Right behind that, he's talking about what he can do or what he will do in terms of helping the people who are unemployed.
We do have a lot of concern, Mr. Biden. It's been rough. I mean, my last day at work was March the 8th when everything shut down. We are really suffering. And it just hurts us when we hear people that don't have any issues, politicians that are doing just fine, when they say, oh, they don't need that extra money. They're just lazy. They need to get a job. There is nowhere to go to job to get a job. But we would be working. We don't want to be staying here home on unemployment. We want to be working.
I don't want you giving up hope. I really don't want you giving up hope. I promise you. Hang on. We're going to get through this. You're going to get through this. It's going to be hard as hell for the next 50 to 70 days, unless the House acts in some way, the Senate acts and passes some of this material. And we need to get help out the door as soon as we can. And Americans like you, we need relief now. So I've been urging our congressional Republicans to work on a bipartisan emergency package now. But any package passed in this so-called lame duck session be now on January 21st, at best, is only going to be a down payment on what's going to happen early next year. My transition team is already working on what I will put forward in the next Congress to address the multiple crises we're facing, especially the economic crisis and COVID. Come January, the Vice President-elect and I are going to fight every day for your families. That's my commitment.
And, of course, the Democratic Party says that they will be fighting tooth and nail to make sure that jobs are available to a lot of people. But with all the big stores closing, I mean, I got a whole list of it. I don't even want to talk about Macy's and Neiman Marcus and Walmart's. And there's so many BJ's. A lot of stores are being closed all across the country. And some of them never to be returned. And the job situation is not really, really getting any better.
All right. A little bit of trouble in the job market today. If you saw those numbers earlier, but we certainly had more people filing for unemployment. I mean, 853,000 first-time jobless claims last week. It was a big number, more than expected, highest we've seen since September, as the virus has been surging across the U.S. And with that, we've seen some restrictions and some jobs being cut. Steve Moore joins us. FreedomWorks economist. You know, Steve, we've had multiple conversations about this, about what we should do. Should we have more stimulus? Should we, you know, have more restrictions on the economy? But the reality now is there are more restrictions going into place, and now more people are losing their jobs, right?
Connell, I'm just surprised that people were surprised about this number. It was not unexpected to me. We've seen, and you've been reporting on this, that big lockdowns in big states like New York and Chicago, Illinois, and obviously what's happening in California with, you know, it's 40 million people and so many of the restaurants and retail stores being shut down.
And that's continuing. So all across the broad spectrum of the United States, and most Americans and more American renters could be evicted from their homes in January than any other month ever, because the protections that were put in place during the COVID-19 pandemic will expire in January. And that's going to be big, because that's the month when the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, their ban will be set aside and will expire. And the moratorium protects tenants from those individuals who have missed monthly payments from being thrown out of their homes if they declare financial hardship. So anyway, it's going to be a big problem on foreclosure, and that's reported in the news on an ongoing basis.
I don't call them stimulus checks, Hallie. I call them survival checks.
Families are getting kicked out of their homes. They can't put food on the table, and they need money to be able to do that. This is a bipartisan issue because families are struggling, and Mitch McConnell and the Trump White House is not, is refusing to acknowledge the scale of the crisis we face.
Okay, since there's going to be a big problem out there, listen, what can we do as distributors? Let me see if I can get somebody to talk about that for a minute before we continue with the program. I see a good doctor there. Dr. Smart, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon, Dr. Johnson. How are you doing?
Fine, sir. I mean, we seem to be coming up on a crisis situation in addition to Pfizer releasing the vaccine, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But what do you think we can do as people with all the people being unemployed? They don't have the money for food, clothing, shelter, information, and medical, and even transportation. So cars are going to be rebuilt. What do you think we could do as a people? Those of us who are in network marketing, what do you think?
It's a difficult question because, right now, as I said, it's not just the country, the whole world is in trouble. We're playing catch up from the coronavirus, things being shut down. Like I said, when restaurants go down, most time restaurants, there's only like a 10% margin on restaurants when things are at full capacity. So when they have to go down to 50% or 25% actually being open, they're losing money. So the numbers being as high as they are, we're definitely in a crisis. Like you said, a lot of people have not had to pay mortgages because they had the protections. A lot of people hadn't had to pay rent because they've had protections, but that's all set to be up on December 31st. So we as a people, we look after our families and, make sure everybody is okay. We almost have to, work together. In network marketing, one thing you do have to realize is that even in a pandemic, there are some businesses that are actually making money. There's some businesses that are actually thriving. So there's still people making money in the pandemic. And what you need to decide is, what kind of home-based business that you can do that you might be able to actually make some money in the pandemic. Rain International is one of those businesses that does provide you opportunity. You can get started as little as $49. In addition to earning some extra income, you're also helping people. But the products that Rain has really have been changing lives. I've been using a lot of different patients. They're feeling better, walking better, moving around better. I've used it myself. My knee doesn't hurt anymore, despite working out every week on the leg. It's not swelling. I feel good on it. So if people can hone into a home-based business like Rain International, that'll allow you a way to make some residual income and kind of not to survive the pandemic, but also thrive in the pandemic. So, but it takes a mindset. Can't wait for the government to help us out. Do everything. A lot of times we have to be proactive and look for different opportunities ourselves.
Yeah, we kind of dig in, huh?
Yes. As people that are in the ring, I think we need to, let people know that there are opportunities out there. Some people get, here's somebody who's not making a lot of money, who's really suffering during the pandemic. A lot of times your mindset gets clouded by being in the trouble that you're in, that you really can't see your way out. So you're not really looking at what other opportunities are out there for you to thrive. So that's a perfect time for us to let people know that, hey, there's some other opportunities out here. You don't have to just survive. You can actually thrive during the pandemic.
That's true, yeah. There's a lot of people I've been reading lately about GoFundMe programs and crowd marketing programs, crowdfunding. So there are a lot of people, and I was at a library, got about four books this week on this, and I'm listening to a lot of books on Kickstart, Indiegogo, and all the big major crowdfunding programs out there. And there's some companies and some people who are taking in hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars through those campaigns. So what do you think? I guess we got to open our minds to look at alternatives. Would you say that that's true?
Yes, you know, we got to get out of our comfort zones. You know, a lot of times we don't make a change in our life. We get really complacent until, you know, something, a door closes, something happens to make us make a change. So, you know, if you have lost a job, then, hey, you know, maybe we lost that job for a reason. What door is now open? What window is now open? You know, what thing have we been really wanting to do that now we have the time to actually think about it and do it? So this is a, you know, perfect time for, you know, people who've been wanting to write a book, people who've been wanting to be an entrepreneur. If you do have extra time and you're at home, you know, this is actually the perfect time to be thinking about, you know, what am I supposed to be doing? Am I happy with the job that I have? You know, what do I really want out of life? A lot of people have lost loved ones, during the pandemic from COVID. So we really are re-looking at our values, you know, what's really important to us. You know, you can work all your life, 60, 70 hours a week, but if that person dies, you know, that job is just going to, you know, put another person in your place. And, you know, after a week or two, you're pretty much forgotten about. So
right,
a lot of us
right.
would dedicate, you know, our lives to a particular job, but the job doesn't necessarily have the same dedication back to us. So what really fulfills us? What's our why? What's our purpose? That's what, you know, we need to be really thinking about. And then what kind of vehicles, what kind of things, what kind of jobs will allow me to realize my purpose, realize my mission?
Right, right. Dr. Sister, we have you on, and if you don't mind, what's coming, Pfizer has said that they're going to release the product, the vaccine pretty soon here. That's a big discussion. But I'm reading some reports. They say out of the UK that some people are having some reactions to the virus, who may have some allergies. There are allergic warnings here. And I just want to kick that off just, and then we can get right into the product and get what we're, and let's talk about those reports in the news about the allergic reactions that the virus may put
so
in.
Right now, it's very important for the public to know that, you know, there were these reactions that happened, but we still don't know that many details about what actually happened to these individuals, what were their symptoms, but we do know that they're recovering just fine. And so, you know, making a blanket statement that people should avoid getting the vaccine if they have allergies is really dangerous and very detrimental. We had no severe allergic reactions in the Pfizer trials that were done, as far as I am aware of. And I don't think that that's mm-hmm. anything that we need to really be overly cautious about. We do need to look at the data, look at what's going on with them. But remember, an anaphylactic reaction, which is the allergic reaction that we worry about, happens very quickly after the vaccine is given, after something is administered, typically within several hours. And we can treat that. We treat it all the time in the hospital. So this is just another reminder that we have to be very cautious when we give these vaccines. They should be in healthcare settings. And, you know, just take the precautions, which we are very well aware of right now.
And that's Dr. Natasha. She's a board certified emergency room physician, if you will. And she's also on the board of the member of the outreach board of directors for Pfizer, talking about the reactions that people have had in the UK. And then somebody else said that there's another concern about the minority population, specifically blacks, taking the vaccination.
You have postmenopausal osteoporosis and a high risk for fracture. Now might not be the best time to ask yourself, are my bones strong? Life's full of make or break moments. That's why it's so important to help reduce your risk of fracture with Prolia. Only Prolia is proven to help strengthen and protect bones from fracture with one shot every 6 months.
Do not take Prolia if you have low blood calcium, are pregnant, are allergic to it, or take Xgeva. Serious allergic reactions like low blood pressure, trouble breathing, throat tightness, face, lip, or tongue swelling, rash, itchy.
So right now, it's very important for the public to know that, you know, there were these reactions that happened, but we still don't know that many details about what actually happened to these individuals, what were their symptoms, but we do know that they're recovering just fine. And so, you know, making a blanket statement that people should avoid getting the vaccine if they have allergies is really dangerous and very detrimental. We had no severe allergic reactions in the Pfizer trials that were done, as far as I am aware of. And I don't think that that's mm-hmm. anything that we need to really be overly cautious about. We do need to look at the data, look at what's going on with them. But remember, an anaphylactic reaction, which is the allergic reaction that we worry about, happens very quickly after the vaccine is given, after something is administered, typically within several hours. And we can treat that. We treat it all the time in the hospital. So this is just another reminder that we have to be very cautious when we give these vaccines. They should be in healthcare settings. And, you know, just take the precautions, which we are very well aware of right now.
Hey, doctor, I played the wrong clip on that one. But anyway, how would you respond to that, doctor, since you're going to be right in the throes of all of this pretty soon, as soon as the vaccine is released? What is your take on this?
Well, there's a we start talking about the vaccine. There's a lot, you know, a lot of controversy about vaccines. Anyway, there's a lot of misinformation out there about vaccines. There was for a time someone was saying that some of the vaccines can cause autism. You know, some of the vaccines can cause, you know, different type of issues. We haven't seen any real data that the vaccines, routine vaccinations, actually cause any autism. But that was a theory that was out there maybe 10 years ago or so. But even though that's been disproved, those little theories have been perpetuated, and that's why vaccines become a little bit of a controversy. Now, anytime you take something foreign in your body, that's what people, you know, think about. Anything you put foreign in your body is going to try to get rid of. Okay? So no matter what you put in your body's going to try to get rid of. If I eat a cheeseburger, you know, my body's going to try to get rid of that. It's going to break that cheeseburger down into, you know, carbohydrates, protein, and fats, and whatever the body can use is going to use it, and whatever is waste is going to get rid of the byproducts, and that's going to come out in our stool. You know, if we take a medication, say Tylenol, our body tries to get rid of that. You know, so it's going to be broken down mainly by the liver. 200 milligrams of Tylenol, guess what happens? Our liver gets rid of it too fast. It never goes to help our fever or help our headache. That's why a certain number of milligrams are necessary in order to treat your fever or your pain. So we know we need at least 325 or sometimes 500 milligrams. So that's why the milligrams can be different. So the same thing is going to be with the vaccine. So if you give yourself a vaccine, basically what you're basically trying to do is you're basically trying to use your body's own immune system to make antibodies against the virus. Okay. Now, one thing with the coronavirus vaccine, one, it does not have any live virus in it. It does not have any dead virus in it. Pretty much this vaccine is using new technology where they're pretty much using the RNA. So RNA is reverse transcriptase nucleic acid, but there's like the DNA of our genes. The RNA is like the DNA of a virus. So this vaccine basically has some RNA that looks like the virus. We put that inside our bodies. Our bodies actually will mount an immune response to that RNA and make antibodies. Usually it takes 7 to 10 days for our bodies to make any type of antibody. So if you get a cold, if you get the flu, you know, they usually tell you, you know, 7 to 10 days you should start feeling better, and that's why they say that. So once we mount up enough antibodies, then if we ever get infected with that virus again, or with the vaccine, if we ever get infected with coronavirus, we should already have antibodies to fight that coronavirus and not actually get sick. Now, part of the problem is when you, like I said, you put something foreign in your body, so we're putting the RNA vaccine in our body, our body is actually mounting a response to that. So so it is expected that you can have some mild flu-like symptoms. You may have some body aches, but that's because of all the cytokines of our bodies actually making a response to that vaccine. So it's actually a good sign, but some people will misinterpret that and say, no, you know, I think I'm actually getting the disease itself. But the vaccine, from what I've seen, is about 90% effective, 90-95% effective. The flu vaccine is only about 30-40% effective. So it is a highly effective vaccine. some of the other things that you hear about the vaccines out there, or that, you know, how can they come up with a coronavirus vaccine in 9 months? You know, HIV has been out here for you know, since the late 60s, and you know, the big pandemic was in the 80s, and we don't have a vaccine for HIV, you know. The common cold's been around forever. We don't have a vaccine for the common cold, you know. Flu, you know, we have to get a flu shot every year, and the flu shot, flu vaccine is only 30 to 40% effective. Why all of a sudden, you know, we get a pandemic, coronavirus has been out here about a year now, but we have a vaccine in 9 months that they've come up with. And, you know, I thought about that, you know, it does make you question. But the other thing, when I was younger, right out of high school, I was 6 years at Eli Lilly. I was a pharmaceutical company doing research every summer. And under my second year there, I had a doctor that was a PhD doctor from India. And he said, why do you want to go into research? I said, you know, I want to go into research because I want to find a cure for cancer, HIV or something. And he put his hand around my shoulder and he said, son, how many times do you have to take a vaccine or cure? I mean, how many times do you have to take a cure? I said, well, once, unless you get disease over again. He says, this is a capitalistic country. We're not looking for cures. We're looking for something that treats the symptoms that people can take every day. And it was, at that day, I had just finished my freshman year in college, that I decided I wasn't going to do research. I was going to do active medicine that day. So when you think about drugs that do come out, most of the pharmaceutical companies are not looking for cures, okay? But right now, during a pandemic, they're actually working against each other because they're all competing against each other to see who can come out first. You know, Viagra comes out, and then all of a sudden, you know, another company comes out with Levitra or Cialis. So there's always competition. But right now what's happening is because of the worldwide pandemic, a lot of these companies, a lot of the researchers, university people, these great minds that we have in the world are actually working together. And they're actually looking for a cure. You're not looking for symptomatic treatment. So that's one of the reasons that we've been able to get this vaccine so fast. The other reason the vaccine has come out so fast is because so many people are infected with it worldwide. So there's a lot of potential patients that could actually be in the trial to see if it works. So when you think about it from that perspective, hey, people are actually working to find a cure. We're using RNA technology. You know, it makes more sense how this vaccine actually came out. So overall, I think the vaccine is going to be safe. It hasn't been out long enough to see what all the potential side effects are. So that's what we do have to watch out for. So we have to look at what the risk and benefits. You know, anytime you have a trial, there may be only, you know, 10 to 15,000 people in the trial that actually gets the vaccine approved. But once we get the vaccine out there, more people will see what other little side effects come out. You know, if we look at Tylenol, you know, Tylenol can cause a really bad reaction called Stevens-Johnson in some people where you get blisters in the mouth, blisters in the nose, blisters on any of the mucous membranes. But the risk of incidence of that is really, really, really small, but that is something that potentially can happen. So I'm pretty sure with the vaccine, there are going to be some side effects that we do learn about. But so far, they haven't seen anything major that will be life-threatening. So we need to look at the risk versus benefits. But for most people, if you're not in the healthcare field, you're not in a nursing home, those are going to be the first people that actually get access to the vaccine. So after the first two rounds, there should be probably over, you know, 10 million, 15 million people on the vaccine, and we'll know a little bit more information about that. So, but overall, so far, the vaccine does look safe. As far as minorities, you know, a lot of us, there's a lot of skepticism with minority populations, and that, especially with the government and different vaccines. A lot of that stems from the Tuskegee experiment with syphilis. When penicillin came out, they were supposed to be given minorities Tuskegee the actual penicillin, but the government wanted to know what was the natural course of syphilis and was it treated. So a lot of patients were not getting the treatment that they thought they were getting. And that's where a lot of skepticism comes from, especially the African-American community with anything that the government kind of comes out with. But in this particular case, this is a, you know, global pandemic. This vaccine is going to be available to all people. It's not just a study population. So I think we need to really look at, you know, we look at minorities. The studies are still coming out that minorities are 2 to 3 times more likely to be hospitalized from coronavirus if we do get it. We're also, you know, 3 times more likely to die from coronavirus if we do get hospitalized from it as well. So we really need to, you know, keep that in mind. So the risk of having severe illness with coronavirus is a lot higher with minorities than it is with non-minorities. So really needs to be a push to, once the vaccine is been proven to be safe, to definitely, you know, make sure minorities get the proper information to make an informed decision, and hopefully most people will get on the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. So as a practicing physician, with your patients, you are going to say, you suggest they go ahead and take the vaccine whenever they can get it. Is that
what you're going to be recommended? Yeah, I think the first tier is that they're going to go out to the hospitals, and then that's everybody that works in the hospitals, not just the doctors, but even the orderlies, the maintenance staff. That's who's getting it first. And then they're going to go to, I think they're leaving that up to the hospital themselves, though, for most states. Mm-hmm. And then the doctors that work in clinics are going to be getting it, and then also nursing home residents. So that's the priority until they can get enough vaccine manufactured. I think the Pfizer vaccine just got approved. Moderna vaccine is right behind it. It's pretty similar type of vaccine as the Pfizer vaccine. Uses the same type of technology. They're pretty much about the same. So so hopefully by April or May, there should be enough vaccine in the country to vaccinate anybody that needs it.
Mm-hmm. And then people can go back to work again, huh?
Go back to work safely. Now, there's always going to be somebody that doesn't get the vaccine, and the virus is, if you look at any pandemic, usually it's about a 2-year cycle, about 3 cycles during a 2-year period. That the actual virus is out, so people that don't get the vaccine won't, you know, certainly won't be protected. But the people that do get the vaccine should be able to go back to work, go back to, you know, some sort of normalcy with their lives without having the fear of catching and dying from it.
Right. What, since you are a holistic health practitioner as well as an allopathic doctor. And people that you are giving Soul and Core and Ben and the rest of the probiotics, et cetera, et cetera. The people who can't get it, the vaccine, if you will, are you suggesting they stay on Core, Soul? What would be the protocol that you would recommend for the average person who may not get the virus, I mean, the vaccine right away? What would, using the products of RAIN, what would you recommend?
Okay, so you know, if we look at there's a MATH protocol that came out, MATH protocol that came out as far as you know, prevention of coronavirus, or if you do get mild symptomatic with it, or if you're actually hospital with it. But the core things on that one talks about you know, taking Pepcid, which is famotidine, generic, as an acid blocker. 40 milligrams a day. It talks about zinc, 75 to 100 milligrams a day. Vitamin C, 500 milligrams twice a day. Vitamin D, I think it was 2,000 to 4,000 milligram units a day on that. So those are the kind of main things. And I think, you know, that in addition to hand washing, wearing your mask, will prevent, you know, a lot of coronavirus spread, a lot of flu spread now that it's flu season. As well, we also need to make sure that, you know, people practicing social distancing, you know, stay away from crowds. You know, that's where most people, you know, they've identified 6 places that most people are, 80% of people are actually getting infected at. So if you stay away from those big crowded areas, then that helps as well. When we start talking about the RAIN products, in addition to that, you know, we definitely like any of the Core, the Soul, or the Ben. Any of those work really well because they all have the black cumin seed in it. Now, if you look at black cumin seed is a very potent anti-inflammatory. And then there is a ingredient in the black cumin seed called thymoquinone. And it's the thymoquinone in that that has antibacterial, antifungal, and some antiviral properties to it. So since each of those products have black cumin seed in it, then that will also give you some additional protection. So a good regimen would be the famotidine, 40 milligrams a day, zinc, 75 to 100 milligrams a day, vitamin C, 500 milligrams twice a day, vitamin D, 2,000 to 4,000 units a day. And then for most people, I would just recommend at least 1 to 2 packets of Sol a day. If you have more disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, and you need a little more of a detox, then I would add a Core, one pack of Core to that a day as well. If you have fibromyalgia or a lot of arthritis, joint aches and pains, especially as it's starting to get closer to winter now in most places, the weather is getting colder and you got a lot of precipitation, so a lot of people are feeling their cousin Arthur come out in their knees and shoulders and joints. So to keep calm Arthur down, then you could add Ben today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, appreciate your help on this. That's really real helpful for us who are novice, how to stay healthy during this pandemic, if you will. Did you, and I'll let you go, did you do much research on the Spanish flu pandemic back in 1917, 1918? Did you do much research on that?
I haven't done any detailed research on that, but when I did, remember, I worked 6 summers at Lilly. So one of the summers I was at Lilly, and we actually worked on the, I was actually working on an antiviral medication for the flu, something that's like the Tamiflu that's out now. So doing that, we did research the pandemics of flu, and how you got, there's a type A flu, there's a type B flu. H1N1 that came out several years ago was a type A flu. So there's a type A and type B. So most of the swine flus, A tends to be the one that causes more potential pandemics. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Okay. Yep. Well, that Dr. Nashua, who is on that board, the a member of the outreach board of directors for Pfizer, she also says that with the black population, there's not really a big concern, she said, about having them, they should pay attention and take that product. But anyway, let her say it in her words.
Right. This is very true. In certain minority communities, there is a little bit of hesitance for medication treatment, even making appointments with physicians. And that's for a reason. There's been large healthcare disparities in this country historically. So those minority populations, as is, are a little bit fearful, and rightfully so. But in this case, these are the populations who are most vulnerable to COVID right now, and they are actually remarkably doing really well with the vaccine. Black and Hispanic patients did remarkably well, as did our patients 75 and over. And those are the target populations. So this actually works remarkably well in them, more than, the white population based on their study data. So we really want to ensure them that this is safe and it's going to protect their community. And we really need to do a better job of informing them and, reassuring them that this is safe and it's a really great idea and it's going to protect them and save their loved ones right now.
Hey, Doctor, we appreciate you being here and to give us an update on this, since this virus, this vaccine is going to be out in a couple of days, I guess within a week or so. So thank you very much for your input.
No, no problem. My pleasure.
Okay. All right, folks. So black cumin, black raspberry, Chardonnay, grapeseed, and Sol is good for
life,
the body.
In vitality in one tiny capsule, the seed. Within this tiny gem, all vital elements of life are present in a more concentrated form. Essential amino acids, antioxidants, vitamins, and minerals.
Seeds actually contain all of the essential components of nutrition that we would like to find in our herbs and all of our leafy products. But unfortunately, a lot of times the vitamins, the minerals, the amino acids, or the fatty acids are lost in the process of whatever that seed is in its growth to become a flower, a plant, a leaf, and whatever. But it's very, very small in its size as far as seeds and grains, but it's a concentration of many things that we would need otherwise in our essential components of nutrition.
While all seeds serve the same purpose in nature, not all are created equal. We've sourced only the most healthful, nutrient-dense seeds on the planet as the basis for our product. So, the black cumin seed, black raspberry seed, and Chardonnay grape seed house powerful benefits on their own. But when combined, the benefits of these seeds synergize, creating a source of wellness unlike any other product available today.
Well, compound diversity is very important in a health product. And what we find in Soul is a comprehensive balance of compounds that contribute to a range of functional health benefits.
Okay, no question about that. Okay, listen, I'm going to close with a couple of these. We appreciate the doctor being with us and giving us his expertise, his knowledge about what we should be doing, how we should be taking care of ourselves. But again, there are a lot of testimonies on Rain, Soul, Core, Bend, the probiotics, and the form that we use.
Before Soul, I'd hit menopause, and I was starting to get really tired and very frustrated that I didn't have my energy back. So in February, I had been on the Soul for about 2 months, and I was at our surfing and yoga retreat in Costa Rica. And I always get up at 6 to go surfing before everybody else comes. And then I would surf the first 2 hours, and then I would stay out from 8 to 10 with our group. And then I'd stay out until like 1 o'clock. I'd take another Soul packet, and I'd stay out another 3 hours. And they would be asking me, like, do you think we're all wimpy that we can only surf for 2 hours and you're out there for 6? And I'm like, well, that's kind of like my normal, how I used to be. And now I found something that can actually sustain and play with me. As long as I want to be out there, it's going to be with me. It's something that I take it. It kind of calms me down. My blood sugar levels, and I can keep going. It's not like it spikes my energy up like a lot of the caffeine drinks will do. It's definitely more of the long haul, which is what you want. You want to be able to build your vitality day by day, little by little, step by step, the whole way. You don't want to take anything that's going to deplete your adrenal glands. You want to stay in there and take the things that are going to nourish you. I've never been attracted to too many products, but when I first started taking Soul, I'm like, there's something different here. The fact that it was seeds really intrigued me and made me very excited that it was three seeds and the combination, and then D-ribose, which I'd heard about as an athlete for the heart. The recovery that I found as an athlete from taking this product is amazing. So I'm past my prime as an athlete, but I want to be an athlete at 100. This is not over till it's over. So I want to feel good till the day I die.
So there are many people who are taking the product and really enjoying good health with Rain and Soul and Core and Ben. It's really a great, great, great product, folks. And so for the people who are out there who want to stay healthy and help their family, friends, and neighbors to do so, recommend use Core, use Soul. And I say try Soul. That sample program, I think that sample program is off the chain. Send out samples, because like Costco, BJ, those stores that practice sampling their product and increasing business, this is just the way to go.
The full power of a plant, flower, or fruit all in that tiny kernel. But you can't digest seeds whole. Sorry, man, they go right through you. Unless you take these seed-based supplements from Rain International. They've been proven to slow aging, reduce inflammation, and limit oxidative damage in the body. Through a cold press process and grade A manufacturing, Rain International makes seed nutrition fully digestible and absolutely no work for you at all. It's raw, all natural, powerful nutrition. Go ahead, drink to your health.
Yep. Very important to stay healthy, very important to try Core and Soul and the products that Rain has. And so keep spreading the word. Let's close with Byron.
So whether you're trying to decrease the inflammation and pain in your body, increase your immune system, slow down the aging process, increase your energy and your stamina, sleep better, make sure your skin, your brain, and your cells have the nutrients they need, then you have the right product in your hands. There is no such thing as a miracle product. The body is the miracle. If you give it what it needs, it can do what it needs to do. So what I want you to do is take one packet in the morning your first day. The second day, take one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And the third day, take one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and about a half hour before you go to bed, take one in the evening. After you've experienced just a little bit of the power of this product, get back with the person that gave you the sample, and they can show you how to get a month's supply of this, and not just 1 month, but every month of your life for free. So go out, sample the product, take Soul, and experience the power of seeds.
And as we close the program, thank you very much for listening. I'll thank the doctor for being with us today to give us some direction in terms of what we should do to stay healthy. Work from home is the magic. And we can help a lot of people to work from home.
I wonder what it would be like to work from home. With advances in technology, more and more people are looking for home-based jobs that could easily give them the flexibility of setting their own hours and perhaps find a better work-life balance.
It enables you to run your own business, be your own boss, but with the backing of another company that's there because you're selling their products or their services.
Wouldn't it be nice if your commute consisted of stepping to the kitchen for a cup of coffee, then into your home office? Well, thanks to the internet, plenty of people do it daily.
Best commute in town. Very short. Takes me about 30 seconds. We get to choose our own hours. It allows me to have the flexibility to do things with my wife and my daughter.
So there are real work-at-home jobs out there.
There is opportunities to work at home. You just need to find out what type of an opportunity you're best suited for and research it and pursue it.
For Money Talks, I'm Stacy Johnson.
And the other thing I would recommend that people who want to build an organization from home, I think that you should listen to Eric Worre, tons and tons of interviews that he has done on that. And then you have other people, like a lady up in Vancouver, Canada, Tanya Aliza, T-A-N-Y-A-A-L-I-Z-A. She does a lot of training people how to use social media, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. She's really good at that. She does so well at it that she has a seven-figure income annually. That she managed, she stumbled for the first 3 or 4 years and trying to figure this out. But she's figured it out. Now she teaches us exactly what to do if you want a six-figure income, a seven-figure income, a multi-seven-figure income. She can help
26
you.
Minutes a day to spare. Now, I've built a seven-figure online business, been marketing my business online since 2010, so my processes and my systems really work. But the biggest thing that I have learned how to do in my business is to have a lot of automation and leverage. I mean, that's why we started our home business in the first place, right? We want to have automation, we want to have leverage, we want to be able to go to the beach, and we still want to have our businesses able to be run on autopilot in the background, right? So with these systems and processes they put in place, it actually allows you to be able to do that in your business. And right after you go through this training that I have that I'm going to be hosting, and if you join me, right after, you can start implementing these six steps and start seeing those kinds of results in your business. I typically enroll about 2 to 5 new teammates and customers into my network marketing business each and every week on clockwork. I get text messages all the time that say, hey, Tanya, I'm ready to go. I'm interested in your products and services, and I want to show you what I'm doing so you can copy some of those strategies and put them into your business and have some of the same results, if not better. So I hope you can join me this coming up week on my training sessions. I've got 2 going on that you can register for, so pick one that fits your schedule best. I'm going to show you my 6 steps. And if you implement these 6 steps, you'll have a lot of great results on Facebook. And you can also apply these 6 steps to not only Facebook, but the other social media platforms that are out there as well. I love Facebook because that's where everybody is. So I'm going to be showing you what I've been doing on Facebook to get people to say yes and reach out to me when it comes to my products and services without sitting there in front of your computer all day long, instant messaging people who aren't interested in your business. I'm going to show you how to get in front of the people who are already looking for your products or services and what they provide and the benefits that they provide. Pretty cool, right? So get registered on this page. Your free resource and download is on its way to your email inbox now. And I'll look forward to seeing you on the free upcoming training that I have going on. Get registered on this page, and I will see you there.
Okay, I say follow the people who are doing it. Again, she said that she's earning seven-figure income from the comfort of her home, but not in the beginning. In the beginning, she stumbled, fumbled for about 2 or 3 years, but she finally figured it out.
Raw desire of ambition that comes at you different ways. Who knows if it's your background? Who knows if it's your role models? Who knows if it's your failure that you've had? Who knows if it's because it's something you had to prove to someone? I'm not quite sure, but I do know it's raw ambition that starts someone looking mm-hmm. at doing something differently than they've done before.
Right.
Their desire to do something, they have a raw ambition. And ambition shows up in a lot of different ways. I do believe that it either takes confidence or your desire to have confidence. Because I really do believe, of course I'll tell you about my book, Quantum Leap, and mm-hmm. I have to say that in that book, Quantum Leap, I talk about the component of confidence. And I always talk about that you have to be willing to know that it's dynamic. Because once you're confident in one area, you know, you slip out of another area, so you have to get it back. I believe that it takes a love of people. It's hard to do this if you don't love people. And you have to, and you know, people say that all the time, well, I love people, I love people. I think it's a different kind of love. I think it's you appreciate people, but you really want to see people better.
Mm.
I really believe that people that are at the top of their game really lay in their bed at night thinking, how can I expose the training, the lifestyle, the leadership, the education? How can I help someone else get better?
That's Gloria Mansfield Banks. And, you know, Gloria is the number one earner with Mary Kay. She's been with him 30 years, something like that, about 30 years. And she has a master's degree in business from Harvard University. And she's a go-getter. Out of 3.5 million distributors, she is the number one person in the country, in the whole company of Mary Kay. So maybe you might want to go to YouTube and punch that up and see what she has to say in terms of many seminars and training sessions that she does, helping us to become masterful. Listen, I really appreciate you listening. I really appreciate you being here. Next week, same time, same place, right here on Blog Talk Radio, that we will be presenting another idea, giving you some other ideas of how to build your business from home. And, oh, by the way, you can always go to businessforhome.org and just track the people in various programs and where they are in terms of their income levels. It'll surprise you. businessforhome.org. And I'll see you next week right here on Blog Talk.
I wonder what it would be like to work from home. With advances in technology, more and more people are looking for home-based jobs that could easily give them the flexibility of setting their own hours and perhaps find a better work-life balance.
It enables you to run your own business, be your own boss, but with the backing of another company that's there because you're selling their products or their services.
Wouldn't it be nice if your commute consisted of stepping to the kitchen for a cup of coffee, then into your home office? Well, thanks to the internet, plenty of people do it daily.
Best commute in town. Very short. Takes me about 30 seconds. We get to choose our own hours. It allows me to have the flexibility to do things with my wife and my daughter.
So there are real work-at-home jobs out there.
There is opportunities to work at home. You just need to find out what type of an opportunity you're best suited for and research it and pursue it.
For Money Talks, I'm Stacy Johnson.
I'm Russ Johnson, and see you next week here on Blog Talk Radio. Same time, same place, right here. Talk to you then. Bye now. Have a good weekend.